from KQED.
And welcome back to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer. And for the rest of this hour, we're talking about kids who identify as transgender. A bill by San Francisco Assemblyman Tom Amiano would require public schools to allow transgender students to choose the bathrooms, locker rooms, and sports teams that match their own gender identity, not their biological sex. The bill awaits a signature or a veto from Governor Jerry Brown, and supporters call it an important step toward protecting transgender kids from harassment and embarrassment. Critics, as you might imagine, say it ignores parents' sensitivities and takes away school administrators' discretion. Joining us to talk about it, we'll begin with Eli Ehrlich, who is Executive Director of Trans Student Equality Resources. And Eli Ehrlich, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Let's tell me a little bit about your situation and how you got involved in this issue.
All right. Well, I'm a transgender student from the Wolds Charter School, actually a recent graduate. Just graduated last month. I'm very excited to be again at Pitzer College down in L.A. And when I was 8 years old, I innocently told my class that I was a girl and they would simply need to treat me as one. But the students, teachers, and faculty did just the opposite. While I wore skirts, had long hair, and made it clear that I was a girl, the faculty forbade me from participating in classes and programs with the other girls. And so because no law like the School Success and Opportunity Act, or AB 1266, existed, I was always forced to be the girl on the boys' team. And my classmates really harassed and ostracized me for it. I lost all my friends, and eventually I had to stop participating in classes, and my grades and attendance dropped. I refused to go outside during recess and lunch in fear that I would be physically harassed by the other students.
And this was L.A. Unified, or what was the school district?
This was Willits Unified.
Oh, in Willits, I'm sorry.
Small town in Mendocino County.
Okay, and so where were your parents on all this?
My parents weren't very supportive. At least they didn't acknowledge my transgender identity, but I made it very clear to the whole school that I was a girl and I wanted to be treated this way.
Yeah, and you talked about sports a little bit. What about bathrooms?
Well, for 6 years growing up, I couldn't use public restrooms, which was very unfair to me. I needed to go home just to pee.
And so when you say you couldn't use them, you mean the school prohibited you from using the girls' room?
That's correct.
Yeah. And so how would this bill, AB 1266, it's known as the School Success and Opportunity Act, how would it change things for students like you?
Well, since my parents allowed me to publicly transition, I've passed a transgender-inclusive policy similar to the School Success and Opportunity Act at my own school and several other schools in my county. The students, myself included, are a lot happier and are able to succeed because of these policies.
And do you have any sense, how many kids are in that situation in California schools? How common is it?
There are thousands and thousands of transgender students. It's actually a lot more common than you think. A recent study from Massachusetts found that approximately 1 in 200 people are transgender, and similar numbers for students.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to broaden the conversation a little bit and welcome Matthew McReynolds to the conversation, an attorney with the Pacific Justice Institute. They are opposing the bill. Matthew McReynolds, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
You bet. And here with me in the studio is Ilona Turner. She's legal director for the Transgender Law Center. Good morning. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Matthew McReynolds, you've been listening to Eli Ehrlich talk about her situation when she was in high school. Why do you oppose this bill, AB 1266? And how would you, if not that legislation, how would you deal with students in her situation?
Well, to be sure, I think this has been a difficult issue for people on both sides to wrestle with. And so what Eli was saying about not being able to use the restroom at school is a great concern that would need to be addressed by school administrators. And how we would propose approaching that situation is very similar to what a lot of school districts have done, which is provide third restroom alternatives in some cases, or explore a range of options that respected both that student's needs as well as the other 99.5% of students that are not transgender. So we think privacy issues are significant with AB 1266 and with this whole issue. And to accommodate one student and their gender expression or gender identity. We can't ignore the privacy of all the other students.
But you can imagine also that without a statewide standard or requirement that where you live, if you live in a more conservative part of the state, you're going to have a very different kind of situation than if you're in, say, San Francisco or Los Angeles.
That's correct. And in San Francisco, you know, this bill is really unnecessary because of the policies that are already in place there. However, I would point out that when we're talking about gender identity, gender expression, especially in the context of kids, you know, we're talking about kids that in a lot of cases haven't grown into who they are yet. They're confused. They're questioning what their gender is. And there are no standards or safeguards in AB 1266 that would allow administrators or parents or coaches in those situations to step in and redirect, to second-guess at all a student's self-proclaimed gender identity. And the lack of standards, the lack of safeguards is something that has certainly concerned us about this.
Matthew McReynolds from the Pacific Justice Institute. Let me bring Alona Turner from the Transgender Law Center into the conversation. What about what we just heard from Matthew, this notion of schools could solve at least one part of this problem by just having a bathroom that would be separate for transgender students?
Sure. That is something that a lot of schools try to suggest as sort of a compromise. But we've really seen in practice that it just doesn't work. It actually has sort of the opposite effect, I think, of what schools intend, in that it singles that transgender student out even further. And we know that transgender students are already subject to much greater risk of harassment and discrimination at school from their peers as well as from the school. And so those sorts of approaches have the effect of basically painting a neon sign above that student that says transgender, causes everyone else to ask all sorts of questions that they might not otherwise.
And what about the point he makes that especially younger kids may not be sure? They may be questioning, they may be confused, and that to assign them this identity so early could, in the longer run, be harmful to them, perhaps.
Gender identity, it's pretty well understood, actually, by the medical and scientific community these days. It is deeply rooted sense of who we are as male or female. Everyone has a gender identity, and for transgender people and non-transgender people alike, that sense of ourselves is rooted at a very early age. And when a transgender child is able to come forward and say, this is who I am, I need this kind of accommodation, that just doesn't happen unless they've had many, many months or years of deep thinking about this and discussions with their family. So in the many districts, including LA Unified, that have adopted this policy in California and across the country, we just haven't seen that kind of problem coming up.
And Eli, let me bring you back in. You said, I think initially your parents were not super supportive. What about the notion of parental control? And would this bill sort of take that away from parents?
Never really have full control of what their students are doing at school, as many, many parents know. And this would simply allow transgender students to participate fully in classes and programs and facilities that correlate with their gender identity.
And so basically this is a case of kids sort of having independent rights, irrespective of what their parents want.
While that is true, uncomfortability shouldn't trample over the civil rights of the student.
Yeah. And Matthew McReynolds, you would say what to that?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, as far as deep thinking going on, certainly that may be the case for a student by the time they've reached the end of high school or gotten older, but we are aware of situations here in Northern California that involve, you know, six-year-olds that are trying to live as the opposite biological gender at school. And certainly I don't think it could be said that a lot of deep thinking has gone into that six-year-old's process of wrestling with it. Second important point that I think needs to be made about this is that, you know, there's simply a lot of confusion that's not helping in this debate, because, you know, what was just said by Alona, I think, about, you know, the male-female concept is very, very different than what supporters of this bill, like the group Gender Spectrum, are saying. They talk about gender fluidity, which can change, according to them, day to day and hour to hour. And so that's why, you know, this is so concerning to groups like ours, because when you don't have safeguards built into the statute, then you have supporters like Gender Spectrum saying, you know, well, it can change every day. It can change in the middle of the day. And there's no clear definitions that would prevent that from happening in school.
And Ilona Turner, what's your reaction to that?
That's simply a red herring. What we know from experience, again, in Los Angeles Unified and here in San Francisco and in many, many other school districts and statewide policies that where we've seen this implemented across the country, it just doesn't happen. This bill is about protecting transgender students, those with a consistent gender identity that is opposite from the one that they were assigned at birth, and making sure that they have the opportunity to fully participate and succeed in school just like their peers.
We're talking this half hour about AB 1266, a bill by San Francisco Assemblyman Tom Amiano that would require school districts to accommodate transgender students with bathrooms, locker rooms, and sports teams of their choosing. If you want to join us this hour to weigh in, it's 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786, or you can email us. It's forum@kqed.org, and as always, you can leave a comment on our Facebook page as well. What about the criticism I've heard, Eli, that, and I don't mean to trivialize the issue at all, but that, you know, let's say a boy could say, hey, I identify as a girl and want to go into the girls' locker room.
Well,
how do you deal with that? Or does that just not happen?
No, that's not really what this bill's about. This bill's about
But how would it stop that? Or how would it, you know, could is that a concern potentially?
No, it isn't. That is really not what this bill's about. This bill is about transgender students who identify as that gender. This bill is about making sure that all students, including transgender students, have a fair opportunity to participate fully in school in programs that are appropriate with their gender identity so they can succeed and graduate with their classmates.
Ilona, how would you react to that, that sort of criticism or that potential problem?
Not only does that issue of fraudulently asserting a transgender identity, not only does that not happen in reality, as we've seen from experience, you know, over a decade of these kinds of policies here in California and across the country, but it just isn't reasonable to even think that that would happen, because we all know that there's such a serious stigma and bias attached to being transgender, unfortunately, still in today's society. So kids who are transgender themselves are frequently going to great lengths to hide that, and their families are often, you know, it takes a long time for them to get comfortable even asserting that, that because they face so much harassment, so much stigma from their peers, no one is going to go out and pretend to be transgender just to get some sort of alleged, you know, benefit like accessing the other restroom.
Matthew McReynolds, do you agree with that?
No, I really don't. I think you could go, you know, maybe most of the time without having incidents, you know, but to assume the good faith of the teenage population across the state of California as being the only real safeguard here, I think is naive at best. And there have been some incidents. There's currently one in the LA area right now that a legal group allied with us is exploring filing suit on, with someone taking advantage of the transgender policies down there to go into the girls' bathroom. So to just say that it won't happen, it's great that we're not aware of major incidents so far in San Francisco over this, but San Francisco's policy is different than what AB 1266 says. I wish it said that there were consistency or exclusivity required, and it doesn't say that. That's what San Francisco requires, that a student be one gender for an entire school year. That's not what AB 1266 says. It has no restrictions or limitations like that, and you know, we certainly wish that it did.
Eli Ehrlich, why any thoughts about why that wasn't in the bill? The consistency notion?
It's really unnecessary. This hasn't been a problem.
Ilona, do you happen to know in terms of why the bill was written that way? Was it left out intentionally?
That kind of requirement can easily be abused by school officials who want to inappropriately deny a transgender student access to facilities or activities based on who they are, based on, you know, they might view that person as insufficiently gender conforming or having not been out for a sufficient length of time. It really gives sort of arbitrary power to those kinds of school officials who may wish to deny the transgender student the full opportunity to participate and succeed in school.
All right, let's bring our listeners into this. Again, the number here on Forum, 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Let's go to Shabazz in Oakland. Welcome.
Good morning.
Go ahead, you're on.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment on that. It seems as if that there's a whole movement that's been waged against the parents with this kind of a bill by Senator, Senator Amiano, as well as Mark Leno, and Senate Bill, I think 1172. Senate Bill 48, you know, all of these bills, it seems like that there's a whole movement that's going on to push gay lifestyle on the public, you know, and people just, you know, at every turn, there's a new bill that's coming up. People cannot, you know, teach their children or advise their children when they're having questions about, you know, their sexual identity. It seems like everything is based on sex as opposed to academics.
Yeah.
And it's a whole movement that is going forward.
Yeah. Shabazz, I'm sorry,
thinking on the public, you know.
Yeah. And no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Let me get a comment here from Ilona Turner.
Sure. This bill is actually a really important non-discrimination bill that will protect real students, transgender students, from serious problems that they're facing under the current law. We have transgender students, we hear from hundreds of students and families at the Transgender Law Center every year, many of whom are not able to use the restroom at school and getting severely dehydrated or even bladder infections because they're simply refraining from drinking during the school day so that they don't have to use the bathroom. We're hearing from kids who are not able to graduate on time because they can't get PE credits because they don't have a place to change for gym, and so they're skipping class. These students are being denied an equal educational opportunity, and that is a serious civil rights issue, and that's why we need this bill.
And to the caller's point that parents can feel that they're under siege in a way, that their own rights are being taken away.
You know, with a lot of civil rights movements, people on the other side feel uncomfortable. And unfortunately, though, that's not a reason to allow discrimination to go on.
All right, we've got some email here. Let me read some of it. Bob writes, at what point are the feelings, they're not civil rights, of the very large majority more important than the feelings of a very tiny minority? Ben writes, it's about time we kill the artificial binary of the sexes. This is a good first step. And Megan in San Jose writes, separate but equal third restroom, like in The Help. And then finally, Tony from Silicon Valley writes, transgender means someone has had the surgery and changed their physical gender. No one argues that these folks shouldn't be treated according to their gender choice. However, those who choose to identify as the opposite sex and act and dress accordingly are called transvestites. Eli Ehrlich, do you want to weigh in on that one?
The
difference between transgender and transvestite.
Transgender is an umbrella term encompassing all gender identities that transgender means people who don't identify with their sex assigned at birth.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Transvestite is a derogatory term that very few trans people identify with.
Yeah. Anything to add to that, Ilona?
Sure. I'll just say that the email was referring to surgery. That's something that while some transgender adults have access to, very few transgender minors would be able to access medical treatment, particularly surgery. So asking, you know, suggesting that schools should have that as a standard really wouldn't be appropriate for young people. Schools need to treat transgender boys the same as all other boys and treat transgender girls the same as all other girls. It's that simple.
That's Ilona Turner, legal director of the Transgender Law Center. We're talking with her and Matthew McReynolds from the Pacific Justice Institute and Eli Ehrlich, from the Trans Student Equality Resources Group. We're talking about AB 1266, a bill by State Assemblyman Tom Amiano to treat transgender students differently than the law now allows. And if you'd like to join us, the number is 866-733-6786. And let's go to Manteca. And Catherine is on the line. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Catherine. I live in Manteca with my son. He's a transgender. He's been doing a lot of advocating with the governor and GSA and ACLU to help move AB 1266 into becoming a law. His name's Ashton, and we've gone through a lot of processes to get to where he's at. I remember when he first told me that he was transgender, I really struggled with the idea of changing the name to what he would like and using a different pronoun. But it's a process. It's not something that happens overnight, and it's not something that people need to be worried about individuals declaring, you know, one day they decide they want to do something different and go into a different restroom. This is something that is integral to a person's core self, and it's been a process, like I said, and it's not something that will be easy to feign or fake. So I have faith that the administrators, when given guidance, will be able to protect all students, including transgender students, by giving people equal access to our education system.
And what about the concern that some have raised that this is taking away sort of the authority or of parents?
Well, I think we all are presented with teachable moments for our children. And if some of the parents that feel that this isn't something that they want their child exposed to or don't want them to know about, then it gives them an opportunity to talk about their value system with their family and talk about what's important to them and what their culture or religion or ethnicity, whatever influences that has on how they parent their children, it gives them a chance to talk about that in a way that they would feel comfortable with. So I feel that just because something makes someone uncomfortable doesn't mean that it shouldn't be allowed for others to, so that they can pursue happiness themselves.
And you live in Manteca. Is that San Joaquin Valley?
We do live in San Joaquin County, the central valley here. And my son attends high school. Ashton attends Manteca High School. And we're working collaboratively with the school to develop a program so that he can benefit from school. And we're lucky because his school administrators are open. There's been other circumstances in the past where Ashton didn't have the opportunity to work collaboratively with schools because they were a much more conservative position. So we're lucky, but not every student gets that.
And what are you hearing from other parents?
I have some parents around me that talk about how this isn't part of their value system, but they admire how Ashton and I are able to advocate for other individuals, and they see the amount of love that I have for my son, and they know that this is a genuine feeling, that it's not something that I'm manufacturing or that, you know, I'm trying to stir up trouble. I love my son with all my heart. And even people that disagree with perhaps his opinion of, you know, his gender and his identity of his gender, actually, they don't, I think, condemn us because people are generally pretty accepting of others. I think we get the hard line really vocalized, but most people really care about how other people feel.
All right. Catherine, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Good luck to you and to Ashton as well. Let's go to now Boston, Massachusetts. Matthew is on the line. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm a school counselor, a professional school counselor in the Boston area, and we've had a similar law that has been introduced and passed recently in Massachusetts. And what we've found is that the protections that it provides to our students who are transgender allows us as educators and students to teach and to learn and to really focus on what we're there for in the first place, which is education.
And was it, now Massachusetts, of course, has had gay marriage for a long time. It's one of the more liberal states. Was there much pushback from the legislation when it got to the governor?
No, the governor has been fully supportive. And I think the reason is because we've included students and parents and families and educators in the process to make sure that all sides are looked at and so that students are placed first. I think one of the things that would be surprising to people is that once this law was introduced, it really was a non-issue because there are the students have been accepting of their peers for the most part. It's been more of an adult issue. I think as some of your panelists have been discussing, these are really parents and adults and people who just might not be as comfortable with these issues that are raising the red flags, whereas the students, for the most part, have seen this as a non-issue, and they welcome the opportunity to have their peers protected and to receive the education that is allowed to us by our communities.
All right, Matthew, thanks so much for the call. Ilona Turner.
Yeah, I would just that's a great example. And I'll just add that this bill in California has the strong support of the statewide PTA, the California Teachers Association, and the California Association of School Counselors. All of them, parents and teachers, recognize that this bill is really important to protect this vulnerable group of students and make sure that all students have the right to fully participate and succeed in school.
Some more comments from listeners here. John writes, so if I can't make the boys' tennis team, I can just identify as a girl and play on the girls' tennis team? Cool. We talked about that issue. And Ilona, I guess you would say that's really, trivializing
and that's not simply not what gender identity is. Again, it's a person's actual deep-seated understanding of themselves as male or female. If someone's deciding on a whim or deciding as a joke, that's not their gender identity, and it simply doesn't happen.
And Eric writes, only in California. This legislation is very naive and impractical. The bathroom situation is solvable, but it's insensitive to the rights of other students to let transgendered students pick the bathroom of their choice. And does anyone really think bullying will be reduced by allowing transgendered kids to pick the sports team they want to join? And he goes on to say, what if a genetic male participating on a female sports team actually won an individual event? Will this be seen as cheating? Ilona?
Actually, on the side of sports, this is already the policy statewide. The California Interscholastic Federation has already adopted a policy that allows transgender students to participate in sports teams based on their gender identity.
And Matthew, just real quickly, we're almost out of time. How heavily is the governor being lobbied against this legislation, would you say? Do you know?
Oh, I think he's getting a ton of calls and emails, faxes from both sides of the issue. Just got to disagree slightly with
Alana
on the last point. As far as as athletics go in the schools, they currently have a review process that allows them to weed out those who might be insincere. That would be wiped out by AB 1266. Such protections.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. I'm sorry to cut you off. We're going to have to leave it there. Matthew McReynolds from the Pacific Justice Institute, thanks to you. Thanks to Ilona Turner and also to Eli Ehrlich as well. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Vinnie Tong. Our engineer today is Howard Gelman. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks and help from Chad McClymans. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.